Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. I want to talk to you today on the subject, provision demands partnership. Provision, you know what I mean when I say that? What God provides for you. And I don't care who you are, rich, poor, young, old, it doesn't matter who you are. There's going to be some time in your life you're going to need provision. You're going to need help from the Lord. No matter how much education or how much money, you're going to need help from the Lord. Having said that, we need to pray for Carlton Pearson's family. Carlton died this past week. And he was my friend. He ministered to us many years. And I ministered there. And the choir went to Azusa. And I preached there at Higher Dimension. He was one of the most wonderful people I ever knew. Got very controversial in his end time and his last several years. But he was a great guy, and God loves him. And that's the end of that story between he and the Lord. I am nobody's judge. I'm everybody's messenger in Jesus' name. Amen? And so provision demands partnership. You may be seated. God wants to provide for you. That's what thrills God. Those of you that are parents and those of you that are grandparents, I wish Becky would spend as much money on me as she does on the grandkids. She does pretty good for me, but I don't think there's anything she wouldn't do for those grandkids. That's parentage for your kids. Don't criticize parents for loving bad kids. That's their job. And you know where we got that from? We love kids even when they're bad. You know where we got that from? We got that from our Father in heaven. He loves us even when we're bad. And so we thrill to be able to bless our children and our grandchildren. But we get that from God. God's biggest thrill is to provide for you. God wants to do it. You say, well, I have this need. Why hasn't it been met? That's what we want to talk about today. That's the reason why Tyler didn't get a car when he was 12. Number one, it's against the law. Number two, you're going to kill somebody if you're 12 and you got a car. You're just not there. God will provide for you everything that you are qualified to receive. God will provide. It's not the stinginess of God, and there's certainly no limit to God's abundance. And so if you need it and you ain't got it, there's a reason why. Because God wants you to have it. And so the text said that God didn't send the rain. And then he explains the reason why he didn't send the rain. Because there was no man to till, or there was nobody to plow. God said, in order for me to send the rain, there has to be a man on earth that learns to plow. And when he learns to plow, I'll send the rain, and the rain will come on the soil, and the seed will be there. It'll come up, and the crop will be there. But there's no need for me to send the rain if there's not a man to plow. There has to be somebody to participate with me. There has to be a partnership. And when God made mankind, that's what he was looking for, was a partner. God wants his people to be his partner. That's the reason why we said we're an heir of the Father and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And partnerships are amazing things. I don't partner much. I partnered with Dr. Alfred Foote. His nickname was Happy Foote. He was a member of this church for a long time back when we were getting started. He was such a blessing in my life. Dr. Foote, Happy, we partnered. We never had a cross word because we were always working for the other person. I've partnered with Brandon on some things. I haven't partnered much. I did partner one time with four guys in the church. That was a mistake. What was I thinking? So the first thing they did, they came to me, four of them came to me, this is years ago, they came to me and they said, Pastor, said, you're blessed, we want to be a part of your blessing. We'd like to form this little partnership where five of us, we'll share in these things. I said, okay. Met with them in my office. So the first thing I did was I bought 1,000 bales of hay. We're just going to do all kinds of cars, anything to make money. So I bought 1,000 bales of hay. I know quite a bit about hay. I was raised with my dad and his farms, and I don't know how much hay I've fed in my life, but a lot. I know quite a bit about hay. But I bought this hay sight unseen. And there was kind of a drought going on, as there usually is in South Texas in the summer. And I got it so cheap, I paid $1 a bale for it. Those bales weigh about 70 pounds. But I didn't see it. When we got that 1,000 bales of hay, it was the worst hay I ever saw. God lied to me. And so I sold some of it to a man for his cows, and he brought it back because his cows were starving, but they wouldn't eat that hay. That's how bad it was. So I now got four partners, and their first jump out of the box, they think that I've made a bad decision and a bad investment. But what they don't understand is that I'm in partnership with God. And God turns my mistakes into miracles. That's what they didn't understand. And so they started whining. When they saw the hay, we couldn't sell the hay, they started whining. And we had it for a couple of weeks. And I got tired of it, them whining. So on the first deal, we met together. I said, you guys want out of this? You want your money back? Yes. So I gave them their money back. I don't know if it was the next day. I think it was. A man called me. He said, Steve, I understand you got 1,000 bales of hay for sale. I said, yes, I do. I said, it's not very good. He said, oh, I don't. He said, are they big, strong, heavy bales? I said, they're pretty heavy. That's what I want. He said, I don't care about the quality. Because he said, I'm making a go-kart track, and I need to make the outline for it. And he said, don't hold me to it. I think what he told me he would give me was $5 a bale. And so I said, I'd just take that, and I'll also notify the four guys that bailed out on me that we ain't partners no more. And they made a mistake, because when you partner with me, we're going to make money. Friend, when you partner with God, I promise you, you're going to be a winner. And when God created man, he created you for partnership. He went walking in the cool of the day to talk to his partner. God wants you to be his partner. I preached a funeral a few months ago, and I said, and I used it here later on, but there's three things, three real principles of salvation. Number one is experience. Jesus said you must be born again. That's the experience. And then Jesus said, cast them out because I never knew you or I never had a relationship with you. Salvation is about experience. It's about relationship. And then he said to Peter, when you are converted, feed my sheep. It's about ministry. If you want to have a real salvation with Jesus Christ, have an experience. Get born again. Then have a daily relationship. Talk to him and walk with him every day. And then ask him what ministry he wants you to fulfill in your life. I promise you do that, you're going to have an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. But beyond that salvation experience, there is a partnership to where God involves you in everything that he does. And the Bible teaches us that it is crucial that we have that relationship. And most confessing Christians are not true partners with the Lord. They're running their own business. See, Jesus was a partner with the Father. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Most people have their own jobs and God's not involved. They've got their own business and God's not involved. You can do that, but it's a little tougher that way, and there's no guarantee on it. But if you make God your partner in everything in your life, you are guaranteed that you will be the head and not the tail, and that weapons formed against you will not prosper. The promises of the Bible. You know, people that are not saved, they'll find some verse and they'll claim that verse. They might not be saved, but they'll stick it on the refrigerator and say, that's my promise. No, it's not. It's not your promise. Those promises are only for partners. They're only for partners. They're not for the general public. The judgments of the Bible are for those that reject Christ. And so for you to put a judgment on your refrigerator is just as silly as a non-believer putting a promise on his Bible. The promises are for the partners, and the judgments are for the God rejectors. You got to be able to rightly divide the Word of God and say, that verse is for me, and that verse is for my mother-in-law, or whoever. Just kidding. But you've got to realize what these verses are. You know, the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That verse is what the world calls luck. Say, it rains on the just and the unjust. The world calls that luck. It's not really luck. It's residual generic effect all the way from the Garden of Eden. And even people that are saved, the Bible makes a distinction in Galatians 4 between people that are saved and those that are overcomers. And he said, if you're just saved, you're a child. And he said, a child differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. The promise is there that you'll be victorious, but you won't receive that promise because you're immature. Most Christians are immature. You can tell the way they live their lives. If you don't have a prayer life, you're immature. If you don't read the scripture regularly, you're immature. If you're not concerned about God's house, you're immature. If you don't have a ministry of witnessing and getting people saved, you're immature. And so these promises are not really to you. Even though you've accepted Christ, you're not a true partner of the Lord. But I want to be a partner with God. The key to longevity in the Lord is partnership. You see people come and the Bible says fall away. It's because they didn't develop a partnership. You know, Becky and I have been married to be 53 years in just a few weeks here. That's a long time. And the reason why we've been together for 53 years is because of partnership. We are partners in everything we do. We're partners in God. We're partners in this church. We're partners in our children. We're partners in our grandchildren. We're partners in you. We are just partners. We're partners in our business, in our money. I don't have any hidden money. Jesse DuPlantis always talking about that money he hides in his pocket from Kathy. He's kidding you. Kathy knows everything that's happened in that. I promise you that. We don't have any hidden money. I don't check her bank accounts. She has her own. I haven't, but I'm on all of her bank accounts. And when I go to the computer and pull up mine, hers are there. I don't look at hers because I'm not going to be taking money. I did it the other day, you know, but I put it right the next day. It was just a convenience thing. But we're partners in our business, in our money. God defines our relationship with Christ as what? A husband and a wife. It's partnership. It's partnership. And Jesus is always looking for partners. He won't send the rain because there's no man to plow. What is the rain? What is rain symbolic of in the Bible? It's always symbolic of blessing. God will not send the blessing because there's nobody to plow. In other words, there's nobody there to benefit from that. They're not in a position to benefit. God is not out of miracles. God's not out of healing. God's not out of grace. God is looking from heaven and ready to demonstrate his power and his love by what he distributes in your life, but he's looking for partners. When Jesus saw 5,000 people that were hungry and his disciples said, let's dismiss them and send them home, Jesus said, we're not through yet. We need to feed them. And then he said, where could we go and buy for them? But the Bible said he said that just to test them because he already knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew that in that crowd of 5,000 people, there was a partner. But it wasn't a man, it was a boy. There's a reason why he said, except you become as a little child. There's something about children that they're easily entreated. They're generous. They give away. I went to see, this is a terrible story. I shouldn't tell this, but I will because it's funny. I went to see a friend of mine, and he was married to a girl that I dated when he was in school. And he wasn't there. And so I sat down in her living room and talked to her in a few moments, and she had two children there. Her children were just this high. And so one of the little girls went and she got these real nice cufflinks from somewhere. And she came back and she said, Mr. Steve, she said, my mother was in Africa and she bought these cufflinks for you. I knew she didn't buy those cufflinks for me. But I just took the cufflinks and I said, thank you very much. And I thanked her mother and put them in my pocket and I still got them. What was she going to say at that point in time? I got me some free cufflinks because of the little girl. They're givers. They want to give you gifts. That's the kind of spirit that Jesus wants with his partners. He didn't want haughty, hateful, stingy, revenge-filled spirits. He wants children-like spirits, child-like spirits. And so he said, how could I feed these? Where could we buy? And finally, he knew. The Bible said he knew what he was going to do. Finally, somebody said, there's a little boy here, and he's got five fishes, a few loaves. Bring him to me. He's looking for a partner. That's what God is always looking for. Friend, you don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have a big bank account. You don't have to be charming. You don't have to have the world's greatest personality. You've simply got to have that childlike spirit that says, yes, I will partner with you. Friend, I promise you that God is looking for partners in every service we have. God's looking for partners every day in San Antonio. I like the phrase the Bible says, to show himself strong. God wants to show himself strong. Well, why don't he just do it? Because he don't send rain when there's nobody to plow. He only sends rain when there is a partner. So you need to ask yourself every day of your life, am I a partner with God? And I promise you, if you will become a partner with God, your life will change. I've told you the story. Red McCombs, he spoke here, billionaire, responsible for the Spurs being here, so many other things. He was just one of the nicest men I ever met. And so Red was in my office. I went to lunch with him and in his office a number of times. He came to my office a few times. And I just got to know him and he's later. He's just a wonderful guy. But he was a billionaire. I'm not a billionaire, but I wouldn't mind being a billionaire. I could stand that kind of a cross to bear if it was put upon me. But Red was in my office, and I just sold a piece of real estate, and I had made $500,000. Believe me, that's a lot of money for a boy from Iola, Illinois. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And I had it in the bank, and I said, Red, I said, I've got $500,000 in the bank. Will you take that $500,000? I trusted him so much. I would have done it without a contract. One of the few people I would have. Just a handshake. Take that $500,000 and invest it in one of your things, because he did things all over the world. And he said, no, I won't, Steve. He said, number one, he said, I lose money all the time. I make more than I lose, but he said, I'd feel so bad if I lost a preacher's money. He said, second, you're doing all right without me. You don't need me, so I won't be your partner. I wanted to be a partner with a billionaire, and he turned me down. But Jesus Christ offered me a partnership with him. And I would be a fool to turn him down. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God said, I will make you a partner with me. This is the God that makes made red McCombs look like a pauper. He made the heavens and the earth. The cattle are his on a thousand hills. And he said, I'll make you my partner. God wants to make every one of you his partner. And that means that he invites you to come into his arms and let him soothe your soul and remit your sin and cause you to be born again and be a new creature. And the wonderful thing is, God never deals with nobody but you. It's an old cliche, but God has no grandchildren. Everybody's a child. That means it don't matter where you came from, who your mother or daddy was, who your cousin or your brother is, God deals with you, and he never, ever judges you on your family. You alone, and God said, I love you. It's amazing that God loves us so much that he will forgive us over and over and over. And every time we come to this service and every time we're driving down the road, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. If we can hear what the Spirit is saying, he's saying, come into me and I will in no wise cast you out. Not only will I save you, I will become your partner and I will share my wealth with you. And God has shared his grace with me. And God has shared his mercy with me. And God has shared his goodness with me. What? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, the Bible said. And God shares that with me. And friend, I was raised in church and it was just 90% great. But it was about 10% not good. And one of the things that they used to teach us is that God wanted to keep you poor so he could prove that he would save you in the last second. That, my friend, is a fallacy. That's heresy. God doesn't want you to be poor. God wants you to have a cup that overflows. God wants your barrel to be full. God wants you to praise him, not because you live in the arena of destitution, but you get up every morning and say, my cup is full. It runs over. The Lord is on my side. I'm partners with God. And because I'm partners with God, he will not withhold any good thing from me. But you've got to trust the Lord. And the Lord's got to be able to trust you in partnership. The worst thing that could happen is that a partner steal from his partner. When you steal from your partner, the trust is broken. And it's got to, the relationship has to end. And God accused Israel of that simply because they would not bring their tithe to the storehouse. Do you think that God needs your $100 to continue keeping this solar system in working order? Not in a million years. It's an invitation. It's an invitation, not subjecting you to a heavy burden that you become a giver or a tither. It's an invitation into God's world. The Bible said about the Gentiles, they were alienated from the life of God. I find that one of the most haunting phrases in the Bible. They were alienated from the life of God. I'm a part of God's life. Whatever affects God affects me. Whatever affects me affects God, because we are partners. That means that Jesus could sit over against the wall and watch a woman give 2 cents. And he said, that woman is my partner. And from now on, she'll never have a need that I don't meet. Ladies and gentlemen, God and I are dealing not just in a saved, lost relationship, but we are living a daily partnership. Every day when you've got a partner, you're talking to him. You're checking on things. Friend, I don't just talk to God on my knees. I talk to God, like Paul said, without ceasing. Driving down the road, I'm talking to God. God, this is where I am today. Do you see where I am? This is what I need to do. God, somebody did something against me, and I'm not going to do something against them. Somebody did something against this church a few years ago, and Judy, my assistant, came into my office and she said, so-and-so, one of the great pastors in this city, is on the line and said, this woman has has applied at their job, at their church, for a job as a secretary. She said, what do you want to tell me? I said, tell them that she's a nice, nice woman. And she was. But she did something that wasn't nice. Just because you do something nice doesn't mean you're not a nice person. It means that at that moment you weren't nice. I was not going to retaliate and kill her chances for a job. That's just not in me. I don't hold grudges. And so when somebody does something, I say, Lord, apparently you are going to set me at the table today and prepare for me a blessing. Because the Lord fights my battles because I am his partner. God and I have been in this thing a long time. And God knows I fall, but he knows I always get up. God knows I fail, but I never quit. God knows I make mistakes, but I repent. God knows that I'm not going to stop. God knows I'm not going to turn around and go back. We have been in a partnership now for 60-some years, and God is depending on me to be what I have been. What's that, perfect? No, somebody that just won't give up. I say, the Lord is my partner. I'm exactly like Adam and Eve. I will fail God as they did in the garden, but there the comparison quits because I don't flee from the presence of God. When I fail God, I run to God. He is my partner. And I say, God, I can't handle this by myself. This partnership is going to collapse if you don't step up. But he asked me for 10% and he provides 90%. And so my God is the chief partner in this. I'm the junior partner. He can make up my losses. He can make up my mistakes. He can make up my failures. He can cover for me. Have you ever had anybody that covered for you? It's the most amazing thing in the world. And God's always had people in my life that would cover for me. When I was in Bible college, I wasn't the best student, and I wasn't there a lot. I was off preaching. I had things I had to do, and I missed a lot of classes. But I had two guys there that loved me. W.C. Parkey was the president, and W.C. Parkey and I, we were partners. He loved me, and I loved him. And Winfrey Black, he pastored a church that had a lot of money in that Bible college, and he loved me. And so no matter what I do, W.C. Parkey and Winfrey Black would cover for me. When I came to San Antonio and I didn't have any money, I went to Frost Bank and I found a woman there by the name of Claudelle Kercheval, and she was sitting there chain smoking, raised as a rancher's daughter in West Texas, and I asked her for $1 million. She said, Steve, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I just like you. She's about 30 years older than I was. She just blew that smoke in my face and said, I like you. You're like a son to me. And Mr. Frost himself said to her, you can't tell that preacher no, can you? She said, no, I can't. He's just like my son. God's always had people in my life. Why? Because the Bible said he will cause men to give unto your bosom. And praise God, if I'll plow, it'll rain. 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 And friend, I want to tell you today, the best thing you'll ever do is become a partner with Almighty God, because he will take care of you. There's some things you can do. You can plow, but you can't make it rain. But if you'll plow, God will make it rain in your life. God will bless you coming in and going out. God will make you the head and not the tail. God will be on your side. God will prepare a table in the presence of your enemies, and he's here to do that today. And I just ask anybody in this building, is there a drought in your life? What do you mean by that, Pastor? You know where every day you get up and something's wrong. I mean, it just happens day after day after day after day. You got to realize you're in a drought. Well, we had a drought this summer. It was tough on we that have to buy hay and feed and have livestock. It's tough. Cost you money. But it rained the other day. Oh, what a blessing when it rains. I've done that enough, literally, had droughts in my life on these ranches, to know when I've got a drought in my life. And when I get a drought in my life, I say, wait, God. I'm going to break the plow out. Let me go down to the barn and let me get the tractor and the plow, and I'm going to start plowing the ground. And that means I got to get down on my knees sometime, my face before God, and say, God, I haven't exercised my faith. I haven't been as diligent as I should. I said no when I should have said yes. Whatever it is, I break up the fallow ground. And then the next thing I know, here comes the rain.